Blog Talk Radio.
We were born before the wind. Also younger than the sun. Thank you.
Yes, that was the delightful sound of Mr. Van Morrison. Never get tired of hearing his music or his voice. A little background on Mr. Morrison. He's an Irish songwriter and a singer. Started out in the 60s with a group called Them. The group Them was famous for the hit songs Gloria and Here Comes the Night. And later in years, he went on and improved and expanded his act and just thrilled audiences all over the world and is still doing it today. My personal fave is the song we just listened to, but I'll settle for A Brown-Eyed Girl in a Pinch. I love and respect Tupelo Honey and Crazy Love, and I love and respect poets of all types. I am delighted to announce that we are Blog Talk Radio. We're a team of voices, and I have the wonderful Jay Hatter along with me tonight to share in this experience. And we are going to delve into Open Poetry Night. We're going to take calls from some of our members and anyone else who wants to call in and share their poetry. So without further ado, started. Hatter.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about Van Morrison that I don't know? I started to say Jim Morrison. That's a whole other crate of bananas right there.
Well, I remember being in school and having when my knees were being worked on, usually after football season, I would sit down in the front room alone, like at 11 o'clock in concert would come on, and Van Morrison was usually one of the regulars that would show up or be played. So, yeah, I think I like Philosopher's Stone and, Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah, that's a great song. Favorite. Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Belfast.
Oh, boy. Go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you. Go ahead.
No. I just, I love the, he'd sit at the piano with a cowboy hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And from Ireland, and he was known as the Belfast Cowboy. Great sound, real tight. I did read that he missed a Woodstock because he was afraid, or his agent was afraid, manager, that it could have killed his career before it even got started. They weren't sure about playing on a pig farm outdoors. But he did move to Haight-Ashbury, and he hung with the Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin in 1969, the same year that both of them died. So I know.
Yeah, that was the place back then, huh? Haight-Ashbury, Street. Yeah.
Well, Winterland was there, and Fillmore West. It's there on,
What was the name of that place that the Doors played in all the time? It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway,
Young
before
and,
I get stuck.
It, In L.A., you mean?
Yeah, they had a club where the
Whiskey a Go-Go.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was where Big Brother and the Holding Company got their start with Janis Joplin as well, I believe. But,
very possible.
Some heavy times and some happy times. Boy, we lived through it, didn't we?
Address that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we have, I think we have Deborah Lee in the studio. I think she said she was going to read for us and then run, and then we're going to have to fare as well as we can on our own until we get some callers here. But Deborah, you want to go ahead with what you have?
Sure can.
Okay, good deal.
I am grabbing it now.
Okie dokie.
And I'll have it on the board in just a second, because I went to the wrong one. Here we go. Okay, that's better. Mm. And I'm on my way.
Life is full of little surprises. Yeah. Okay.
Sure is. Okay.
Okay.
Do you see the link? I have to.
I see the link.
Refresh.
Yep. I'm going to pull it up and read along with you.
All righty. Here we go. It is called The Camel's Back Breaking Straw. All the tiptoe tap dances on eggshell shards grow old. Blush-stained blinders crash then. It hits the spinning fan blade, splattering graffiti. Now as the neck muscle spasms, swallowing the crap that he spoon feeds me, body shudders and a boulder lodges in my throat. Edges perforate the larynx, choke off the air and trigger me to gag, squeezing goodbye from plump lips.
And whoa. Sounds to me like somebody's, well, I can't say those words. This is a family show. But, yeah, you know where I'm going with that. But when the feces hit the rotary oscillator, you're bound to swallow some of it, right? Yeah.
Somebody swallowed.
That's a marvelous. Yeah, that's a marvelous little poem. It's very much on the edge, but it says exactly what you wanted it to say in due fashion. I really like that one, Deb. That's really, really good. Hatter, what do you think of Deb's poem here? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, blush-stained blinders crash, then it hits the spinning fan blades, splattering graffiti. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I know, right?
Body shredded, the boulder slodges in my throat.
We have to change from a PG-13 setting for me to tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody can envision exactly what you're talking about here without going into the R rating.
Yeah, that's the fun of poetry, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that little license you have with words that just you can spill the crap without bouncing the other thing. But really, really nicely done.
Thank you. And if you've never stopped at deviantart.com, that's where the picture came from. Do yourself a favor and check out some of the stuff on there. And, DeviantArt.com has tons of people that are Alice in Wonderland fans, and you'd be staggered by different artists and stuff like that. So, anyway, it's in my author's notes.
I actually have an account.
I should
check.
Do you really?
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
cool.
I do. Oh, yeah.
All right,
I've been there in a while.
Well, that was a delightful poem. It speaks volumes with very few words, but it also speaks two languages at once. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, a little sign language in there, too. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You can also see that fan stopping and leaning to one side. Oh, dear. Too much information. Anyway, wonderful poem, Deborah. Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. And I do have to go, but, you know, I'm going to mute my phone so that you guys can keep on trucking. And you have like five videos. I mean, I'm sorry, five audios. Well, just saying.
Yeah. Okay. We'll let Hatter direct those onto the screen, and we'll get through them one at a time.
Cool.
Let me see something here real quick. We still have no callers.
Let's go ahead and play the first one in the list here. Recording.
Okay.
Did you put the link up for it?
I see one by you.
I have to say the board shows me one that says Hatter. But if when you use the ones in the studio, put the link up and then push play. But you got to put the link up so people can follow it.
I'm surprised I was able to do that because my I got nothing. I can't chat. I can't use the chat line. It let me paste mine. So maybe I can do that. Hold on, I'll try.
I never have any luck with SoundCloud or any of that stuff. YouTube.
Let's see. All right, I'll try the first one on the list.
Well, I got banned from YouTube for calling a certain politician an idiot, so I can't go there for anything. But anyway.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and read mine then.
Go for it.
Reboot.
Let's reboot.
That's called Tell Me Again, I Am Your Friend, Even If You Have to Lie. It goes like this.
Okay. We're looking at it.
The years have grown old. The days are now cold. The sounds are numbing my brain. Looking inside you, do you feel just like I do, believing there's no one to blame? I hope there will be someone looking for me, someone to hold my hand, someone like you that knows what to do, someone that understands. Now summer's come late. No memories to make, no shade to hide from the sun. Painting the halls as I hang from the walls, wishing again to be young. It is not quite clear what it is that I hear, whispers that never came true. I rust in the dark, it's all fallen apart, lost in search of you. I cannot foresee what becomes of me, the rain is clouding my eyes. Tell me it's true and that it was you, even if you have to lie. What if I'm stoned and I find I'm alone? Would you stop and turn away? Tell me again that I am your friend, and tell me you decided to stay.
Mm. Well, that speaks volumes. The first thing that says to me is you're missing somebody, and you're worried that you're not going to be able to replace them, and that somebody is still very important to you deep inside your heart. Tell me again. Like, I am your friend, tell me you decided to stay. I wrote a poem similar to this, but it was all in couplet form. It was called Don't Look Back. And it says pretty much the same thing your last stanza says, but you did an excellent job on this. It really gets to the heart of the matter. And says in wonderful rhyme, by the way, Hatter, terrific rhyme scheme here. The cadence is perfect. The message is profoundly clear. It's very sad, but there's a longing here. Yeah, there's a longing here that begs to be heard. I like this.
Thank you.
I like that a lot. Yeah.
So see if I can find a link to one of the recordings.
Okay.
Come on. And I might have to reboot. Let me see if I find it.
Yeah, take your time. We don't have anybody waiting, so what the heck, right? Let's just have a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's all good.
I don't know. I don't know what the site does, man. For the last month or so, my cursor quits working. I don't know why doing that.
You need, so I think what that is you need to update your drivers.
That's probably it. Yeah, so I'm trying
to... need to update your drivers. That's all that is.
Okay. See if I can... okay, there's the master.
She said, pull up the link and press play. Now, I don't know what that means, but you're supposed to, so...
Well, I can't pull up the link, Deb. I can push play. Pretty
I
sure
think Deb's gone. Is she gone?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me see. Let me go look at this thing. Maybe I can figure it out.
Let me go back to the studio there.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to go look at this and see if I can figure it out. Hold on. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but sometimes I score, you know.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do?
In the meantime, why don't you try to keep... Yeah, go ahead and reboot. Do that. In the meantime, I'll read Heavenly Angel posted one, and she needs a reader.
Hey,
so
guys.
So I'll go ahead and read. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Are you saying that neither one of you know how to copy and paste links onto the chat wall?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't know how to do a SoundCloud or a YouTube onto the chat wall.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have to do any of that. Like, if you look at your topic board, for example, I just put Budo's poem on the board for you, and that one has a SoundCloud. You'll notice that I made a notation for you under it. If you just put the link for the poem on the chat wall, Hatter will push play for your SoundCloud, and you guys are all set.
Okay. That's what Hatter was having difficulty with, I think.
Having a hard time copying and pasting the links onto the chat wall. So if you do that part and he pushes the button, you make a perfect tag team.
Okay. I think I can do that for you.
All right, so right now, Hatter will push Voodoo's song for you, and you guys can listen to the thank you song.
I don't know what it's under.
And user all set. And I gotta go.
I don't know what it's under.
Hatter, if you look at the link on the chat wall, I have them all marked underneath it. But there's a little notation. For example, the one that's on the board now says 0, Bud, thank you, 6:30.
Okay. Yeah.
And if you look at the top, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 clips at the top for you. So it has to be one of the first, at the very top. This particular one that we just put in is the second SoundCloud.
Yeah, thank you, Bud. Okay, got it. Okay.
There you go. Now we're cooking with grease.
I didn't know you yesterday, and now I do, and now I do. It seems forever since I felt like I do, like I do. Is it real or just a dream? Am I sleeping in my bed? Are you an angel from above? Or just thoughts floating in my head? I couldn't breathe just yesterday, and now I do, now I do. It seems forever since I cried, like I do, like I do. Is it me or is it you? Are you blessing me with love? Touching deep from soul to soul to be our greatest story ever told. And if you're the one, then please embrace me so. And if you're the one, then please don't let me go. couldn't see myself that day. Then I met you. Then I met you. It seems forever that I sigh like I do, like I do. Now I'm blessed with thoughts of you, loving me in tender ways, waking up with you today is the greatest story ever told. And if you're the one, then please embrace me so. And if you're the one, then please don't let me go. Let go, let go. I've been waiting a lifetime for years for you. I'd wait a lifetime for years for you, for you, for you.
Dan the man, I didn't know Budo had skills like that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the first time, first time I've heard background. I think he had a background singer there with him.
Yeah, the background singer had a lovely little voice, too. To infer that feminine is little. I just thought it was a lovely voice, but they sang very little. Yeah. That's what I meant. But, yeah, that's a beautiful love song. Beautiful love song. I really enjoyed that. I think I might, if that were on a CD, I might even purchase that one and keep it in my own collection. That's pretty damn good. Pardon my French. I like that. Yeah. I really like that. That's good stuff. Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, I guess he's got a file. He's got a file of his songs. I think they said 50 of them, if I remember right. Go to his page.
Oh, there's a boatload of them from what I could see, but yeah, really nice.
That was really good, Willow.
Yeah, liked it. Liked it a lot. Let me see what I can do here with this. I'm working on putting something else up here. See if I can do what I promised Deb I could do.
All right. We'll get it.
Yeah, I'm working at it. Give me a sec. Give me a sec.
Tell me which one you grabbed.
Here we go. I got Heavenly Angel here. Let me see if I can pop it up like I'm supposed to. Okay. Here we go.
Is there a audio?
No, it's not a SoundCloud. It's just an open read. Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I'll take a gamble here.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's better with a female voice, but we'll give it a shot. This is a poem by Heavenly Angel. It's called One Life, One Love. Have you ever felt really close to someone? So close that you can't understand why you and the other person have two separate bodies, two separate skins? One mind, one heart, one spirit grows. True union of the soul. This is what I feel for you, my love. I belong to you. You belong to me. Soulmates are two seeds that have been planted at different times who bloom in togetherness within the same season. We fly with passion's caress, the celestial flight across the lover's Milky Way. You are my sun, my moon, my starless sky. We are destined soulmates who came together, soaring through galaxies. Periodic kisses, sweeter than lime, stolen gazes at your profile, the way gold flecks in your eyes reflect the starshine. I want to write our life on parchment, bind my life to yours, two hearts beating and believing in just one love, one life, our life in poem. I've read and written a few. I've read an awful lot of poetry about soulmates and the concept of what it means to be a soulmate. And, you know, I know for a fact that it's truly rare to find a soulmate in this, in one lifetime. And when you do, believe me, it is like the heavens opened up and you found the star that was your sister star in the universe. It's beautiful. This is a beautiful, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous poem. I don't know that I've read one more beautiful about finding your soulmate. This is really, truly gorgeous. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, she writes some of the most romantic love verses I've on the site. I mean, the way she puts them together, it just, mm-hmm. just wanted to sort of melt afterwards. Yeah, Hallmark feeling.
Well, that one kind of just, you roll it around on your tongue and until it melts in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then just finds its way to your heart. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful poem. I like that. Very, very seriously like that poem. That's gorgeous. Okay. Let's see here. You want to dig up another SoundCloud here? Wait a minute. What did
sure,
I just do?
If I
hold
can
on.
Find it. Studio.
Okay, let's see. Still no callers, huh, Hatter?
Nope, just us.
Okay, well, we'll muddle through. We'll get this done. I guess tonight is ladies' night at the local bar or something. Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the nights, they tend to the numbers fall off a little bit this time of the year until fall.
Mm. Yeah, that's okay.
It's normal. But a lot of people come back and click the on-demand. They listen to it after the fact, so.
It's all good. It's all good.
So which one did you grab?
Oh, I didn't grab one. Hold on. Let me. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were gonna grab a SoundCloud, but well, anyway, we'll do this.
Well, I do, but I got to know which one you're going to put there to read so I can push the right one.
Oh, okay. Here, let me pull this up here real quick. I'll put the link up and you do the SoundCloud, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go. Well, come on now, Quinn. You got to copy and paste. Copy and paste. All right.
Okay, Pam.
Oh, I wondered where I got that from.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All righty then. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, I wondered where that came from. Damn, I remember that well now that you pointed out. Okay, here we go. This is a poem by Poetic Picasso, and it's on the SoundCloud. There we go. There's the link.
Okay, and pushing the button.
Okie doke.
Hast thou not seen the unkindness of ravens looming over the drear and dark tower of London? 'Tis said that if the six resident ravens depart, the tower and lofty kingdom would collapse. Wretched be the foe that the curse befalleth upon, for so ominous is the unfortunate fate of doom. The gurgling, croaking, harsh, grating sound, echoing throughout the hollow walls with a shrill. No, for they are faithful and observing watchers, harbingers of the clear tidings of death and despair. Their allegiance is only to the master they serve. Behold the lost souls of the clamor of injustices. Those poor devils the victims of the king's wrath, whose hearts were plucked out like torn petals. The thorns of vengeance cry out with a full force, and sharp shall be the dagger that pierces the king. The heavy manacles of oppression shall be lifted, with the just fall before a dirge of the caged and slain. And the souls of air shall rise from their tombs to rule the tower with the righteous ones of time. Herefore thou shalt know about his abrupt downfall, and the tower shall be stained in thick royal blood. I hear them now from my solitary prison. Forever I roam the tower as the ghastly reverend.
Holy shit. Whoa.
I got it. Oh, that was creepy.
I've been
to the Tower of London. I've been to the Tower
of
London, and I can tell you, you can feel a presence. You can feel the history in those rooms and those hallways. It used to scare me to death when they'd talk about the young princes who were murdered by Richard so that they couldn't take the throne. And, of course, I don't know how that turned out eventually in history. I think they found some bodies, but they weren't sure. But, yeah, I've been in the Tower of London. It's a creepy, creepy place. Beautifully read. Beautifully read. I love that British accent. Had a very dark and deep reverence to it. And, obviously, he was method acting the whole time, which was fantastic. Nicely written, well read, ghastly story, but enjoyable, really enjoyable. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Tried to turn it up a little bit, the volume, if anybody else was having a little problem, but so it came back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank does really well with the this kind of castle mid-age middle-aged rights. What was that piece? The Thorns of Vengeance. Yeah, the Thorns of Vengeance cry out with a full force and sharp be it the dagger that pierced the king. Didn't some uncle put a boy king heir to the throne in the dungeon of the tower or something?
Well, some uncle put two young princes in the tower, and that's what I was talking about earlier. The history is that it was rumored that they were smothered to keep them from becoming heirs to the throne. And as far as I know, it's never been disproven. There's still a lot of debate about it, I think, or maybe not. I mean, I haven't been in England since the late 60s, so I'm not sure what they've decided
about. What's the story
about
of the boy in the mask? The boy in the mask, wasn't he an heir? He couldn't prove.
The man in the iron mask?
Yeah.
I think that was a story from France, wasn't it?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that was someone who was also heir to the throne who was whisked away in secret and had an iron mask put on him, was put into a cell in the tower somewhere and was denied visitors and was allowed only a Bible and was treated pretty well as far as meals went and everything else, but couldn't have any visitors. And he was kept there for years and years and years and years. Now, I don't know if that's fiction or truth, but fascinating stories anyway. There was a lot of diabolical stuff going on back then. Of course, there probably is now that we never hear about, but then, you know, how that goes. But, mm-hmm.
Well, they made a movie about it, and I read it on the internet. Must be true.
Yeah. Yeah, must be. Okay, I put one up for Diabolical Beard, and I'm going to let you read this one.
Okay, let me get it. Well, you know what? I don't know. It's not a SoundCloud? Okay.
No, it's just an open read.
Okay. Let me get back there. No big words, right?
Big words? I don't see any real big words.
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
I know you are.
That Bacchus Beard. There we go. Lay down next to me. Feel the cold. Oh, I like the picture. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty freaky.
And lay down. Yeah, lay down next to me. Feel the cold. A waterfall of emotions embrace. Each bleeding moment feels like a trilogy. I parachute into the experience wherever, whatever I face. For this, I ponder into the myths of reality. When I feel positive, I feel empty. When I believe, then I lose faith. I dwell in a parallel pandemic of fantasies, alone to turn into an audience of myself, fading. I never stand for an applause that has no meaning. I speak with dreams that are dark like a tragedy. I dig holes looking for purpose only to find travesty. Don't hold me so close. I transform for the unknown. Curiosity, I was born. Lay down next to me. Feel the cold. Whisper to me. Hear the crows reply. You'll see the galaxy in my eyes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty well written. It's I'm trying to figure out what he's talking about here. I don't know if it's a presence or a dream or a warning.
I think it's more of a dream.
Yeah.
For this, I ponder into the myths of reality. When I feel positive, I feel empty.
Yeah.
I
dwell in a parallel pandemic of fantasies. Yeah, it could be a dream state. I dwell in a parallel pandemic of fantasies, alone to turn into an audience of myself fading. Yeah, that's dream state. Very cleverly written. Yeah, very cleverly done. I like that. I like that very much. There's a lot of cool comments, too, beneath.
Yeah, it's well written to that picture prompt. Dark.
It certainly is. It certainly is. I wish our listeners could see the picture, but of course they can't. But yeah, nicely done. Very nicely done. So, still no callers, huh? Wow.
Let me add that. Let me go check. I shall go check. Just around the corner.
I just checked. There's nothing going. Oh, excuse me. I just had a hiccup. I hope nobody heard it. Okay, let's see where we are. We're down to this, and this is another SoundCloud. This is Titus Llewellyn.
Okay, I got it right here.
Let me copy and paste. Oh, my page just scrolled. My cursor went ya-ya. Hold on.
Yeah.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Oh.
Okay, here we go. There we go. Okay, let's try this. All right. I'm not going to sing the Pam song. I've already been. I've already had that pointed out to me. Okay, there it is. That's the SoundCloud, I believe.
Okay. You got it? Okay.
Yep,
push the button.
Up.
For Titus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here it goes.
Greek mythology, a subject dear to my heart. It does become the perpetrator, but in a light-hearted way. It so cleverly exonerates religion, the devil's anguish, while at the same time it obliterates much of the seriousness that goes on in this world. It could be said a safe haven for ill repute. Should it be meant for others, they'll not know whether an offence was committed or not. Therefore, freedom of movement and speech in whatever direction you would wish to make your point, by shape-shifting the subject matter, becomes like water to the vessel in which water is poured. Topics we on earth are too afraid to speak about. We are at liberty to excavate all natural outcomes, whether for good or the bad of mankind. The earth does seem to cope. The fear of death can be fantasized a little, while the afterlife can add an abundance of hope of ever returning to this life. Overall, we have a subject here that is non-prejudicial. To justify ourselves, the causes which have amalgamated ordinary men to become heroes, for we are allowed to closely connect ourselves with God without the call for blasphemy being implemented by those accusers. In fact, that gods can be confronted speaks of putting mere mortals among us on this earth or to the highest realms, having installed my wife and me. Thus, we are able to conform defamatory without objection. Greek mythology has favored both hero and heroine renditions, fantasizing life beyond the immediate grasp without spending lots of time defending such qualms. The love from which Greek mythology governs, it does become the greatest power, at least for man. Laurent Ivan, brought to life from the poem Love but the Death, the Orpheus Eurydice tale hails a beautiful metaphor. So brief a meeting, I only wish it would last. Touching moments short of touching hands. The gods are brought to human form in Greek mythology. It is interesting because the gods are accessible. They are jealous. They rage out. They make tragic mistakes. And Titus uses their accessibility, their fallibility, their yearnings, their love to this purpose. This love poem, song about him and his muse, his lover, a subject to accessible, it is highly relatable. Richard Weissman.
I feel like I just attended a university lecture on Greek mythology. That's pretty cool. Is Titus Llewellyn a professor by any chance?
No. I don't know. That's not a bad guess.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at his book coverlet here that he has on the screen. It's quite possible he is. Pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I've always been fascinated by Greek mythology, and he points out the flaws and the wisdom of the gods in Greek mythology, which is also very cool. It's a quick study, but it's a wonderful study. And for a quick study, it's in depth and it's quite interesting. I like that. I really do like that.
Okay. Well, if we got...
We have callers. We have callers. Yeah, we have callers.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Let's welcome our callers.
We'll let them in.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you let him in?
Yep, I'm letting him in. Welcome, Sky. I think Sky dropped.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome, Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea.
Hello.
How you doing? Well,
I got to reboot. I got to reboot, so I'll be right back.
Okay, you go ahead and reboot.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy to hear some voices on the line. We've had a... Very interesting evening we've managed to get through so far with just Patter and myself. I'm so glad to hear your voice. I think I also have Sky on the line.
Hello.
Sky, are you? Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Welcome. So glad you called in. Let's, do you have to read in Dash, or you want to hang around a little bit, both of you?
I can't stay too long. I just worked 14 hours, but I do have a little bit of time, so I can stay for like a poem or two if you're reading anybody. And I haven't quite picked out a poem for you yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, you go find something you want to post, and we'll hang in there for that moment. And in the interim, we'll get that was Sky, right?
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
Okay. So, Sweet Pea, did you enter a poem? I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Oh, I think I got
that.
One.
Okay. I tell you what. While you're digging around, let me.
Go ahead. I'm sorry for you.
No, that's okay. While you're digging around, let me see if I got one I can pull up for you to read. Since we have your beautiful voice here, let's see here. Okay, this is a YouTube. That's mine. That's Hatter. Oh, I have Tin Hearts here, but she doesn't really know what to do. Well, let's see. If Tin Hearts is listening, call the number on the link, and we'll address your situation, okay? Be happy to hear from you. Would love to hear from you. In the meantime, Sweet Pea, I have one by Sky Dark. I have one by Sky Darkholm.
That's on the line.
I'm sorry?
That's Sky's on the line.
Oh, okay. Never mind. She just put that there. Holy boy, I tell you what. Hey, let's do a live face palm together, shall we? Smash. Okay. All right, Sky, since you have posted yours, that will give Sweet Pea time to go and find something she wants to do. And let me put you on the board. Let me put you on the board. I'm getting the hang of this. It's just I'm not wanting to copy right now. Hold on, give me a second. This up with this cursor. Okay, here we go.
There we go.
We're working on it.
Sweet, I picked this one. It's kind of dark. I thought you might like it. I don't know. I don't know what Wolf Spirit kind of likes. I don't know Wolf Spirit's preferred taste. So
Wolf Spirit likes every venue out there. The only thing I don't have a fondness for is vulgarity. Okay. So, that being said, let's hear what you got.
All right. She's already oohing the picture. I love it. Okay. This is called Deadlight by Sky Dark.
Ooh.
Oh, and my computer froze. All right. So, let me log into my phone. Anyone? Sorry about that.
Take your time. There's no hurry.
All right, we got it. Deadlight by Sky Darkholm. In the woods of youth, there hunted a beast. Split nails, dirt under its smile, between its teeth. And in the belly of its laugh, it towered like those maples. But sweet never offered in the palm's words. Bent brows and crooked humor, a bile spoiled and cruel jack and rotten leaves. But the hunted is small, and there are always places to get creatures behind. Isn't that the way of it? And a curled up hair quivering in the dark. In the beast, its steps were heavy, loud on debris, destructive, menacing, hateful. Oh, there were times the beast caught up, peeled back skin, till bone was exposed and bruised white glint, never seen in x-rays or on surface glances, but there they would live, for a lifetime. And the beast, it didn't just live in the woods. It towered in stone cities, behind dumpster panels, shooting needles into arms and chewing up dreams, like a sewer clown above gutters. Care to see the deadlights? And the beast never learned how to stay outside, not like a good wild animal. It slunk down chimneys and slept under blankets. Clever it was on locking doors and painting walls. That permanent kind of paint that makes triggers fingers bleed after hours of scrubbing, trying to wash it off. It's a funny thing about that paint. In the years spent bleaching it white, covering it with peeling wallpaper, scraping the surfaces and digging holes, replastering and finding new colors, the beast still lingers, keeps finding its way back. And every now and again, I still see it like a shadow running fast, hazy in a field of corn, or in the green of thickets, on cold, empty slabs of pavement. Yellow eyes like those deadlights, straight out of a Stephen King's novel, reminding me monsters are real. I'm home.
Okay. I was wondering the whole time reading this if this was inspired by Stephen King, and you answered in that second to last couplet. Deadlights, Pennywise the Clown, right?
Yeah. And there was another little hint to it when it said above sewers. There was another part too.
That is a creepy read. I think Stephen would love this. I think Stephen King would absolutely love this. He would probably feel honored that he inspired you to write it. I know that I feel honored to read it. It's beautifully penned. It's, like I said, very creepy. So many references, whether intended or veiled, to Stephen King's novels, I think. When you talk about, let me go back and find this part. And every now and again, I see it like a shadow running past, hazy in a field of corn. I'm thinking Children of the Corn or the Green of Thickets on Cold Embassy. Yeah, that's fabulous. I love it when people do this with poetry. Take something that's familiar or something that really stuck with you as you read it or watched the movie, which is not always as good as the reading experience, and incorporate it into your own personal writing and make it original. That's really nicely done. Bravo, Scott. Bravo. I like that. That's really cool. Sweet Pea, did you read the poem?
Oh, absolutely. And I love every second of it. From Digging Holes. Holes is a great movie, a little out there, but I loved it. Killing Wallpaper, great nod. The Beast Still Lingers. That is great. Finding Their Way Back is one of my favorite short stories out of Night Shift, which is a collection of his first short stories. That one really
God,
freaked
yes.
me out, by the way. I love that reference in there. This is just so many great, loving tributes to what he's got going on. I love this. The sewer clown, for the red balloon, just doesn't live in the woods. No, he lives everywhere. The peel back skin, the menacing, the hateful, the steps were heavy. I just cannot believe how many things he got in here. And to be honest with you, if you're not a Stephen King fan, which is absolutely terrifying, and your imagery is, goosebumps on the skin. But when you are a Stephen King fan, you're kind of got goosebumps on the skin because it jolts your memory to everything that you've read. You can embrace right into the story. It's just absolutely fantastic either way you read it. Well done, my girl. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
What I really liked about Stephen King's novels, he never shies away from the trauma of childhood, and especially in the film, you know, in the book, it. I just reread it a couple weeks ago, and I've read this again. I read a lot of Stephen King novels, but one of the things that I wanted to do with this piece was the idea of Pennywise is the fact that he is can shift into different entities of what you fear as a child. And so this piece is definitely rooted in a lot of trauma and a lot of truth of childhood beasts, quote-unquote, so to speak, and shifting into those moments, but using it all through the filter of those novels and of those I guess beasts in his writing, such as Pennywise, and the biggest influence here obviously was Pennywise and those Deadlights, and that's kind of where I went. So even though the piece was very rooted in a truth of trauma in childhood, it was definitely filtered through all those fictional, and again very weighted with Pennywise, because of the idea of inducing fear in a child. But yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. You know what I love about Stephen King is the way he plays on human frailties and fears, as he did in, like, say, Needful Things, Fear of the Devil, and Salem's Lot. To this day, Salem's Lot scared me the most of any of his novels ever did. It was just so eerie. And even though it's a story as old as the hills and twice as dusty, he just made it novel. He just made it new. The best vampire story I've ever seen. Creepy, creepy, creepy. Congratulations on a really well written poem. And like I said, Stephen King, I think, would be delighted with what you've done with his concepts. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Adder, are you back with us?
Yeah.
What do you think of Deadlights?
Yes, I love the way she starts this. In the woods of youth, they're hunted a beast. Split nails, dirt under a smile between its teeth and in the belly of its lap.
Yeah. I think I have almost every movie on DVD of Stephen King that was made. I may be lacking one or two, but believe me, these are the things you can watch again and again and never get tired of. I think I've almost worn out my copy of The Green Mile, but
that's the best one.
Yeah, The Green Mile is so very. If you don't cry at The Green Mile, you're just not human. You're just not there. I'm sorry, but that is just such a beautiful story, and it's so so witchy. It really
next
is.
Next time you have open poetry, I will bring you my Green Mile poem. I do on the voice of Paul Edgecombe, and I read it in his. I try to do his accent.
Do you promise? Do you promise?
I do. I have it. I have it on recording. So next time you have open poetry, but sometimes I get lost. So send me an invite.
Okay. Well, look, I have open poetry the last Wednesday of every month. I only have one show a month, and it's probably best for me and everybody. Yeah, I only have one show a month, but I'm not griping because believe me, it can get very grueling having a show every week, which I used to do, but I kind of got burned out on that. Yeah, that's why I quit doing that. But yeah, I would love to hear your Green Mile offering. That would be fantastic. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Okay. So let me go back to this page here and see if Sweet Pea has something on the board for us. Did you bring us something, hon? Yeah, here we go.
Because Sky went dark, I went dark just for her.
That's fine. We're going to try and get this copied and pasted. And without further ado, we had further ado. Hold on. I'm still working on it. Every time I say without further ado, Kate steps in and says, oh, we're going to do it again. Okay, here we go. All righty there. Okay, we're almost there.
That's all right. We'll get there.
Yep, we're going to get there. We're on a road to nowhere. All right, here we go.
All right. Here we go. Going to have our favorites.
Okay.
All right. That is death, as teacher. Before the after, after the now, there's a space that exists in the shadows we kept over her shoulder or in the corner of our eye, feeling shivers, shaking the field. And we are not alone in the empty house. Dead men do not wander here in the darkness. Their screams not heard. Outside the cave, they do not obey the warning and walk to death through the doorway of the ancient. Mountains choreographed in the shadows of skulls loomed over miles of unyielding land as the empty eye socket filled with the flame of the sun. Justified their sinister existence in the dead. Blood draws from the dry veins of the dead in the valley of shards of glass and shattered lives which withered clothes with rotten flesh and crushed bones. This is the valley of dusty fear, the fiery breath of the dragon on our necks that makes us shiver, the empty soul eyes that watch us when we know we are alone. Death is the shadow that we see in the corner of the eye, the count the days behind our shoulders. Do not run. Walk slowly, and I shall see you there when we are both back in time.
I can't help notice a certain repetition in this. Empty hollow eyes and skulls, eyes come up a lot in this. And pretty cool. I was reminded of so many things, and I can't put my finger on any of them. I'd have to go back and read this another time and another after that to identify what it reminds me of. But that doesn't mean it's not an original poem. It's not fantastic. It's a wonderful read. I was kind of tempted to have a little fun with you on one of your lines, but I feared that you might get offended. But I'll go to that stanza, black blood drains from the dried veins of the dead in the valleys of the shards of glass and shattered lives as river flowed with rotted flesh and crushed bone. That's absolutely phenomenal writing right there. And I was thinking in the humor of the vein of humor, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shards of glass, I shall fear no Pepsi bottles, for thou art wearing flip-flops. But anyway, are you throwing things at me? She's throwing things at me. I can feel it. You know me and my stupid sense of humor, right? Anyway.
I know. I thought that was hilarious. Well, if I'm not throwing things at you.
Not to take away from the feeling of your poem, because it was absolutely fantastic and it took me to a very, very dark place. But maybe it was comic relief for me, because this was really creeping me out. So really, really nicely panned. I want to hear, Sky, are you still here?
Yeah, of course I see.
I'd like to hear your analogy of this really, really good poem by Sweet Pea.
Yeah. So first of all, right off the bat, you had me at before the after and after the now. That is absolutely creative. I really love like catch things like that, where you're setting a scene, but it's very different. It's unique, and it's not really pinpointed, but it's just really, really creative in that before the after, and after the now. It's quite clever, and quite creative, I think. Of course, going into the details of this, setting us up for these darker images. Down to my favorite parts, which there were many of them, so bear with me. But the dead men do not wander here in the darkness. Dead men do not wander here in the darkness. You would expect it to be dead men wander in the darkness, but you change it up and you kind of make it fresh. And you kind of turn the tables and make it so that you're getting not quite the expected. To me, that is unexpected to say dead men do not wander here in the darkness. That is that is like they're not afraid to go into the light. They're not afraid to get you at all times, which is actually kind of scary. Their screams are not heard outside the cave. They do not obey warnings and walk with the death through the doorway of the ancients. So in a way, they do not fear or live in those tiny boxes. They're without all the regular norms. So sometimes when we're afraid of things and we put them in boxes and we give them lines, they're a little less scary because we know the rules. And here in this stanza, you're throwing out all the rules. You're saying none of these things apply here. These rules don't apply. My favorite of all the stanzas was definitely the Mountain's Quarry. It was the next one. Mountain's choreographed in the shadow of the gold. Loomed over for miles in the undying lands. I don't know why, because I can just kind of like close my eyes and really picture what you're saying, and the empty eye socket filled with the flame of the sun. I really enjoyed that as well. And it makes me think of eye sockets being empty, but in black, but then having the sun somehow reflected in that blackness, like just balls of fire looming in their skull, which is a really creepy image, which I really loved. And you did an excellent job with storytelling.
Yeah. I particularly like the way you pointed out that she did a great job of defying all the norms for what makes us afraid, like, dead men do not fear to go into the light, in your words. It reminds me of the Return of the Living Dead movies where the zombies weren't awkward and slow. They actually ran as fast as you could, and you were screwed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, breaking – things are a little less scary, like I said, when you can put them in boxes. But when you take away those boxes and take away the rules, anything can happen. That's kind of like the feeling I get in this piece. And it's very ominous, you know.
You know, often when we break the rules, we really, really are being at our most creative, and I think that's what is so good about poetry and the artistry as well. Hatter, do you have an opinion on this magnificent poem by Sweet Pea?
Yeah, I was I kept thinking of Comfortably Numb.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the corner of my eye.
I have a another caller on the line. I'm not sure who this is. Let's see. 916 area code. Hello?
That's me.
Oh, that's you? Oh, you dropped and came back. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome back, Hatter.
Thank you. Yeah,
another face palm for everybody. Here we go. Face palms all around. All righty. I'm having such a good time face palming. I'm going to slap myself silly. Let's see where we're going to take this next. Maybe I'll just, hey, Fuzz, my cat just jumped on my desk. Don't get on the keyboard, baby. Don't get on the keyboard. All right, hold on. No. No keyboard. Come on, darling. Daddy's working. Pardon me, guys. Yes, darling, I love you too. Now sit down nicely and behave. All right, here we go.
I'm going to take this time to say thank you and tuck out, because like I said, I just got home and I got to call someone else and I got a reading run and then I worked 14 hours today, so I've got to
earned it. Thank you so much for sharing your time and poetry with us. Okay.
Thank you for having me. And I got you books. I actually put you in my schedule in my phone so that I don't forget about you. August 25th at 9 p.m.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm waiting for a response from my Prince and Frog picture I sent you.
Oh, I haven't even looked. I've been really kind of crazy today. I'll look. I will look.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been running nonstop. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have fun.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
I think my cat Fuzz was on cue because he knew I was going to post my poem, which actually happens to be about him. And after that, we have two more sound clips. So
okay.
I'm going to read my poem about Fuzz.
Okay.
And please don't be offended by the photograph. That's me half naked. Yeah, I know, right?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
How can a 67-year-old man look so freaky? I know. That's Fuzz sitting in front of me if you're looking at the photo. That's the cat I was just talking to. He likes to get up on my desk. And when he walks across the keyboard, I lose everything I'm doing. Anyway, this is called Writer's Block Personified. Okay. I am a prolific thinker. I used to be a prolific writer, but there is a new wrinkle in my plan. You see, a cat, my buddy Fuzz, wants to be the center of my attention at all times. Hell, he even spoons with me at night when I sleep. How can I get angry? His love is genuine, and he sees my PC as competition. He's a constant companion, has been the source of many rights and contests. So I kind of owe him his place in my world. Yes, even my poetry world. This is the same guy who wakes me up at kisses, or gets upon my belly and makes biscuits, and very often purrs me lullabies. A love like this can't be ignored, so I put down my quill and fall on my sword. His love is real, and I trust animals more than I trust people, so there it is. My image may not be flattering, but he is beautiful. He follows me everywhere, he guards my domain, and he has never clawed me in anger. I guess you could say he is my muse. Enough said. End poem.
That's awesome. I like what a cat is going to use.
He knew that his poem was going to be read, and he got up on the desk. He just instinctively knows what I'm doing. Pretty weird, huh? Anyway, anyone offer up any opinions on Fuzz? I'm sorry.
So think you are a prolific writer. Even if your cat helps you.
Oh, dude. He's look, you can't drink my beer, honey, okay? That's daddy's beer. You can't have that. Come on, lay down. Yeah, that's a good boy, okay.
I capped up his beer. There you go.
Yeah, he's right here in my face. Right here in my face.
Yeah, they know. They know.
He knows what I'm thinking. Gosh, he knows what I'm thinking. You got to see him when I'm eating.
You know, I did that with my dog. When you get a pet, let him sleep, especially with a dog. I don't know about a cat, but if you let him sleep on your chest, they instinctively... It becomes theirs. They know your heart rate. They as they grow old, it's a bonding thing. So it probably works with
mm-hmm.
cats too. They know what you're doing.
Yeah, he's as close to a cat as I've ever been in my life, and I have 12 cats, and I love all of them. But he is just like he's my partner. I guess enough said, huh?
Mm-hmm. You gotta have animals in your life. You just do. You miss it.
I'm rubbing his chin and he's loving it. Okay. All right, let's go to Hatter. Can you see the two links that Deborah posted? They're both sound clips. You wanna go somewhere
which
with
one
those?
First? Which one first?
Either one, doesn't matter. Might as well go in order. One's a Beatle cover song. Go with that one first. That's by Budo.
Second one by Budo. I've got
he's
Phil
a
and
real nowhere man.
Yeah, that's it.
In his nowhere land, making all his nowhere land for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, you don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere, man, can you see me at all. Nowhere, man, don't worry, take your time, don't hurry, leave it all till somebody else lends you a hand. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Ha ha! I can listen to the Beatles every day of my life and never get sick of it.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Buddha. That was enjoyable. That was enjoyable. I've heard many covers of Nowhere Man. That's a good one. That's a good one. Anybody got comments on Dan's rendition of Nowhere Man by the Beatles?
I thought it was well done. Really,
yeah,
well done.
I think it was pretty. I like his backup singer, whoever that is. They did a pretty good job with the la-la-las and the harmonies. Pretty nice.
I said George and Paul,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I used to love to watch the old videos of them doing that song, and I'd watch George and Paul watch their lips while they were singing the backup to try and figure out what exactly they were singing. It was mostly la-la-las, so...
Yep.
Very nicely done. Yeah. Who do we have still with us? We have lost
Beatles
Sweet Tea.
Cool.
No, we still got Sweet Tea.
I'm
okay.
Here. I'm here.
Okay. Good deal. What did you think of Dan's version of Nowhere Man, Sweet Tea?
I think he did an excellent cover. I mean, I love listening to his voice. He's a lot of tone about him, and he always does a really nice job. I like him.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Beatles songs of all time, by the way. I just, you know, it's just a brilliantly written song, and the harmonies are fantastic. Of course, I don't think anybody quite did harmonies like the Beatles, except maybe the Raspberries or the Eagles. But, yeah, really, really.
Beach
nice.
Boys, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the Beach Boys. You can't leave them out. Sorry about that, guys. Sorry, Brian. I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Okay. Do we have anything new on the horizon here, or are we going to improvise for the next 35 minutes? Let me see what's going on.
We got one more SoundCloud.
We got another SoundCloud. Very good.
Yeah.
Let's move to that one. That's the Phil the Poet, Dead
yep.
Poet Society. Okay. Very cool. Patter, you want to take that?
A poem by Phil the Poet called Dead Poet Society.
Yeah.
Dust-covered books of forgotten poems, pages turning yellow with passing time. Dried up ink holds the quill captive in a well of profound darkness. Resurrecting the poet's ghost to write once more the emotions that they once knew and hated. But now they long for something to feel, something to awaken their imagination. Open the books. Breathe life into the words, as poetry lives on, while the poet rots, immortalized in word and diction, but only for a short while. The delicate pages crumble in your hand, words become molecules of oblivion, as they disintegrate, forever lost, forever forgotten. Welcome. We've been expecting you. We see you got our invitation, the resting place of poets, the last place of inspiration. Raise your glasses to the nearest member. Get intoxicated with the world of poetry. Blow away the cobwebs from a dead mind. Stir the conscience of your reader. write your poem, write for all eternity, about feelings you can no longer feel, no emotion, no love to be expressed, just a blank piece of paper. Welcome. You've read our rules. Now close the door on a reality, for this is now your home, where dead poets reside. End poem.
That's awesome. Am I the only person here, or does anybody else think he sounds like that guy, that Attenborough person who narrates Blue Planet, Animal Planet videos? Has a wonderful speaking voice.
Oh. He has a wonderful speaking voice. I agree.
Yes,
I don't know who
does.
You're talking about is, so I couldn't agree or disagree with your comment. So I have
okay.
to hear the other person. I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, he's a guy that narrates a lot of nature films. He has a really, really wonderful British accent like Phil the Poet does. His voice sounds quite similar, actually. I think that Phil could probably narrate TV programs successfully. He has a wonderful speaking voice. The beautiful poem, by the way, speaks of the role of poets in poetry and how the poet may die, but the poetry lives on. For instance, open the books, breathe life into the words as poetry lives on while the poet rots, immortalized in word and diction, but only for a short while. The delicate pages crumble in your hand, words become molecules of oblivion as they disintegrate, forever lost, forever forgotten. I like that. I don't think that a lot of poets are forever forgotten, but then again, on the whole, most poets are forever forgotten because all of us can't be published poets. And certainly there's no money to be made in poetry unless you get very, very lucky. But I love this. I really, really, it speaks to me on a personal level. Do you feel any personal involvement in this, Sweet Pea?
Oh, I so do because, you know, write poem, write for eternity about feelings you no longer feel, no emotions, no love to express, just a blank piece of paper. Because if I'm not every day a blank piece of paper, then I don't know what
mm-hmm.
I am. I just, that hits me right, you know, in my gut because it seems like no matter what I express, tomorrow's just another blank piece of paper, you know, or the next hour is my next blank. You know, what I expressed 2 hours ago is might have been the anger or something that cut me or something I'm so passionate about or a sadness or a haunting thing that I had. And you know what? Okay, that feeling's gone. I put it on the paper, and this is my next blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I just really love that. I love the other glass, you know, get intoxicated with the world of poetry, pull away the cobwebs from the dead mind. Stir the consciousness of the reader. I think it just really embraces everything that sometimes I feel when I write, and then I just move on, and I go on. And then, you know, I don't care if anybody ever reads a piece I wrote. They're literally engraved into my soul. And
absolutely.
That's the way I am.
When I think about, and often I do, I try to imagine the poet as he or she was writing the piece, especially with classic poets like, say, Percy Bysshe Shelley or Edgar Allan Poe, or some of the better female poets like Emily Barrett Browning. I try to imagine the poet in their element and try to imagine what kind of quill they were using. Did they have an ink blotter? Were they using straight from an inkwell? Were they sitting there agonizing over what line they were going to write next, or did it just flow trippingly from the pen? It's a little thing I go through with writing some of my poetry, trying to get inspiration from imagining what they were going through. I don't know if I speak for anybody else who writes poetry, but that's one of my processes. And I find it quite liberating sometimes, and other times I find it extremely frustrating. But I also imagine crumpled vellum, which is very expensive these days. And I'm sure a lot of the older classics were written on vellum, or other types of animal skin. But that's something that goes through my mind. I think he did an excellent job with this. He speaks for a lot of poets, probably all of us in one way or another. Terrific job. Terrific job, Phil. Patty, what are your thoughts? Did he drop again? Hatter, did you drop again? Let me go see something here. Yeah, I think Hatter dropped again.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's just me and Sweet Pea. I'm not going to make you stay if you don't want to, Sweet Pea. I can sit here and...
Hey, I'm here. You can't get rid of me.
Okay.
I'm like, mole.
Good deal. Okay, let me go see if we got anything left on the topic board, and if we don't, then we'll start digging. In the meantime, let's see here. Let's see. Scroll. I think we are tapped out. Oh, dear. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Why don't you talk about what classic poetry means to you for a couple minutes, and I'll go dig at one of mine, and then I'll talk about something while you go dig at one of yours, or while
okay.
I read mine. And until Hatter gets back,
okay.
If he gets back, we'll play it that way. Okay.
Well, I think classic poetry, I think, means a lot to different people. Classic poetry, I like studying the ancient, kind of like really ancient poetry. One of my favorite ancient poets is Ovid, and I love the way he talks. He talks about things that are as supposedly ancient, but they absolutely deal with subjects that racism, abortion, men fooling around, women fooling around, sexism, politics, and those are all, you know, the things that poets can write about today, and we're talking B.C., and he's writing about them back then. And the comparisons, they really boggle my mind. So he's someone that I absolutely adore, and if you ever get into his love poems, they're fascinating to read, and you hit on some of the essences of, you know, when he's really talking about how can you do this or do that, or I'm in love with this woman, I'm in love with that woman, or this man, and you need to curse this person, or all of that. And you look at, you know, these things haven't been solved for over 2,000 years, and, you know, why are we cursing the world today when this has been going on for 2,000 years? This isn't a new problem to society. This isn't, oh, this is the worst generation that's ever happened, and you know, we're all going to die, and this is horrible, when it's actually gone for 2,000 years, and I can prove it to you in poetry. So that's one of the things I really like about poetry, that you can look at classical, you know, from there to Shakespeare to, you know, up to modern poets, and this is history written in words. And one of my favorite sayings, and I'm not sure who that is, the world goes to hell when we start listening to politicians and stop listening to poets. So that's kind of how.
Oh, man, I love that. Yes, I absolutely love that. Do you think, and I'm going to ask you this one, you know, I posted a poem of mine to go with, and Deborah has informed me that I can shut the show down at any time if the top of the board's empty, but I feel froggy here, so we're going to jump if you feel like hanging for a little bit.
Whatever you want to
do. Do you think that things are so different now than they were during the time of the classic poets, or were they just more eloquent with the same subjects that we face and issues that we face in life? Do you think the difference is in how we dealt with things than how we spoke and wrote about them, or if things have really changed?
Well, I think the language might have been different. I think that the onset of the internet and free I mean, you got to remember that education was for a very specific group of people, and so it was an elitist type of thing to have a book or to be able to study poetry or just to even read. was something that only a certain group of people were allowed to do. For the longest time, women weren't even allowed to learn how to read. So I think that you opened it up to a larger group of the population where, you know, unfortunately, even in several countries, women aren't allowed to learn how to read, or they're not educated, or poverty stops a group of people from learning how to read or have access to it. So I think that there's a draw, a disadvantage to what we have now, too. So I think you have a strong culture of storytellers and things like that. So we have lost some of that, and yet we've gained to the internet and everything like that. We also have a whole different world of, you know, words like, you know, have entered into our vocabulary that would have never been proper or accepted prior. I mean, people use emoji now in their poetry, which, But if you look back, before language, they used cave drawings in their poetry. So what's old is new again, if you want to look at it that way.
Everything old is new again. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank God you're here. Okay, I posted one more of mine. If you want to dig up another of yours, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I'm going to read this. I don't know. It's just a whim for a contest, but here's what I got.
Okay.
This is called The Curse of Ronkonkoma. The history prompt was write something about New York State on a historical level, except no 9/11 poems. So I chose Lake Ronkonkoma up in Long Island. I don't know if you know the story, but here goes. Long Island is not just famous for the cocktail that tastes like tea. In fact, there's a lake in Ronkonkoma that's steeped in mystery, an ancient tale, a love story told many different ways, haunting, a curse, a ghost princess. Young lovers, guard well your days. The legend goes an Indian maid fell for an Indian brave. Star-crossed lovers from different tribes and the life she couldn't save. Banned by the elders, their love was doomed, separated by the lake. As the young brave tried to swim back home, he drowned in the misty wake. Modern disappearances and drowning still prevail. Always a young man in his prime, giving credence to the tale. It's said the princess calls to them and takes them to the water to quench the thirst and forbidden love of a heartbroken tribal daughter. Young men, take care. Beware your heart and don't make that mistake, lest you be taken under by the Lady of the Lake. End poem.
Wow. I love the Lady by the Lake. That's actually kind of a ghost story, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's a ghost story, it's a witch story, it's a love story, it's...
I've lived enough around the Lake Erie world, the Great Lakes, and a little bit of New York to kind of remember some of those Lady by the Lake things, and this is a great story, a little bit of history and mystery thing you got going on. I really enjoy that.
Thank you. I love curses. I'm just fascinated.
I'm
fascinated with curses and hauntings. Yeah.
Me too. I have that thing.
Cool.
I have that little thing. So let me see pictures and curses and see what I can do. I'll see what I can throw up for you because I like to write those things down too myself. All right.
Okay. All right. You take your time and dig around. I could sit here and go la, 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 but I'm not going
to
do that.
Oh, we don't have to do that. I'm pretty good with coming up with stuff. Here we go.
Okay.
Bones of the
Witches. Okay. Oh, here you go. Bones of the Witches. Let's hear that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, it was a gold medal winner, too. You'll realize that. Okay. Bones of the Witches. Flowers blooming rain. And kaleidoscopes of colors. She brushed her auburn curls from cherub cheeks, great spent services, butter slain, holding Grandma's hand. Grandma wept. Your mama obeyed your dad's hand as bloody sheets still drift down the side of their bed. Skeletons of suffering shall hold you dread, not the dead. Eyes of grief, your first crimson stare, to follow the trial of a flood by man's religious file, and call together the bones of which such trial. Between whispers flew from broken necks hung on trees, starving bulls that swing in the breeze, lungs filled with fire, blue smoke billows, and fire mixed at their throats. In a barn, darkness ballooned as shadows down the wall, bones collected on the liver of a bloody beast with groggy voices, a child's scream, a wicked choir singing. Rise together, sister, rise and form the cast. Vengeance frozen in the flesh, we have seen the eyes of God as our form changes in our speed. Torture is how we play, let us now rule this day. The fire burned everything except the beam, where his broken neck filled with steam. Fire prints as the theme, suicide, questions all the team. She brushed silver curls from her face, stared at scars on fingertips. While a fire in the barn, she started years before, when the bones of her mother slipped a knot around Daddy's head, and she smiled and hoped.
I'm getting pictures in my head of the Salem witch trials and women being burned at stake and men being hung and men and women both being pressed by huge rocks out in the fields. Just, oh, wow. This is incredible. This is very, very good observations throughout. And you know your history and you obviously have a fascination with witches.
Oh, absolutely.
I watched a movie the other day on, well, I'm not going to advertise anybody. It was a free network. And it absolutely scared the living mess out of me. It was called The Wicked. If you get a chance and find a movie called The Wicked, check it out.
I will definitely do that.
It's about a witch that steals children and takes them to her lair and eats them so that she can stay young. It's a really, really...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, scary movie. Yeah, that was fantastic. That was fantastic. We don't have anybody else here to comment on our poems, and we could go back and forth and banter with our own poetry for the next 15 minutes, but I think I'm going to take Deb's advice and close out for the evening. I want to thank you for hanging with me during this precious time, sharing your poetry and your opinions. I really feel like great minds think alike, and you have touched part of me you haven't touched before, and
Thank you
so much, Sweet Pea. Yeah. Thank you for being here. We're going to close now, and I'm going to go to the studio and shut down things. I want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who listened, and everybody who called in and shared their poetry. And we will have another show the last Wednesday of next month. I do hope everybody can come and join us, join in the fun. Thank you so much from Wolf Spirit and a team of voices and Sweet Pea. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Bye.
Bye.